Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored as always by 50 West Brewing Company. Owner Bobby Slattery, he's better known to you all as Optimistic Bobby for his rosy Bengals takes, but he truly has something special going on down on Route 50 in Newtown. They combine delicious beers, like my personal favorite, the best IPA anywhere, coast to coast, as well as always rotating seasonal selections. They combine that with an active lifestyle, running groups, sand volleyball leagues, cycling, canoeing, all that based out of the Pro Works. Go on down there, eat some fantastic food, drink some great local craft beer in what I honestly think is the best brewery environment our city has going. Anyway, if you get a chance, head on down to 50 West Brewing Company. Always a great time where every beer is a journey. Join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Every week, your Bengals beat writers Paul Danner Jr. and Fletcher Page take you inside Paul Brown Stadium. We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. All right, welcome in the latest edition of the BBP. That's right, it's the Bengals Beat podcast, presented by our good friends, makers of delicious beer and good times down at 50 West Brewing Company. Shout out to them. Hopefully, I think we have, Fletcher, I think we have ticked down from the need for the punch you in the IPA or something stronger made down at 50 West now that the whole staff is in place. So it's not as dire. It's not as much of a freakout. Now we're back to the normal Bengals freakout storylines of we're not going to spend in free agency and we've blown the first round picks in recent years, which are like that's like a very normal coast to coast alcohol level, I feel.
Yeah, I feel like 50 West is going to, when they go back over the numbers at end of year, they're like, what happened here in quarter one? Oh. Defensive coordinator search.
Yeah, defensive coordinator search sent a lot of people deep into the punch in the IPA. Yeah, so shout out to them and Optimistic Bobby, who is undoubtedly optimistic about everything. That when there's this much change, I mean, and you're a rosy guy already, Optimistic Bobby, undoubtedly very excited about what the future holds for this team and thinks that all of this staff is going to work out fine and dandy.
Yeah, I mean, end of February feels so much less pending than early to mid.
Yeah, the last week it feels like some big hurdles crossed where we all can officially turn the page. You know, that was sort of the storyline last week, was everyone in the Bengals officially turning the page over from coaching staff, coaching search, even Duke Tobin. He says, I just feel so much more comfortable in my little box now. Like, the coaching search stuff is over. I can get back to really where I feel most comfortable. And everybody just happy to turn the page and talk personnel. So we're talking free agency. We're obviously talking draft now after a very eventful combine, I would say, particularly for someone holding the number 11 pick as the Bengals are. So we'll get into that. We're going to talk it happened. You know, I don't resist these things. I just the constant yelling about the need. Mock Draft 1.0 officially out at Cincinnati.com. So we can dive into that. Some of the rationale behind that. I pick 1 through 11, and then I kind of at 11 go the names in the circle, because that's where we're at right now. We're narrowing down the circle a little bit to how will things fall? If they do, what does the circle look like? What over the next 2 months are they working through? And what has this set up? Last year, it set up a situation where they didn't like it, and they moved. And moved back and ended up taking Billy Price and adding Corey Glenn. So we'll see if that sets up for them again this year. We'll get into that. We will get into free agency. Where there's a lot happening. In particular, I think you can talk about, at this point, pretty confidently, a center of focus in free agency will be?
Linebacker?
Linebacker. I think it's got to be. It seems where that hits them pretty nicely, potentially to catch the type of guy that I think you could see fitting with the Bengals. So we'll go through that a little bit as well. We have your questions. Thank you to everyone that fired off a bunch of questions. People are very They really want to know about the Bengals trading for Josh Rosen. There's still a lot of Andrew Whitworth residual after the Melissa Whitworth story came out. So we'll touch on that briefly in the questions. I don't want to spend a bunch of time rehashing that here in the main portion of the BBP. And many other questions to get to from there. I'm sure at some point we will find out what Kanye has been up to. I'm sure it's very interesting. So all of that and more coming on today's BBP. Is that a good tease? Do you feel like did we reel people in with that one?
I feel like you really set the stage.
Yeah, the stage is set.
Got the placemats on the table.
Yeah. Now, will this, the stage is set, but will this be Hamilton or will this be Guys and Dolls?
You didn't like Guys and Dolls.
Eh. Not a big fan. Trying to think of a less, I mean, everything's essentially less popular than Hamilton. So that wasn't really a knock on Guys and Dolls. It was more of a lifting up of Hamilton.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
How was that?
Excellent.
The whole experience, though.
Awesome. It blew my expectations. I had super high expectations for Hamilton, and it blew them out of the water. It really did. Do you know that I mentioned this on That's a Cincinnati, my other podcast I do with Jason Williams, where if you put in, there is a lottery where you can, there's like 40 tickets they release every single day for $10 because Hamilton's on the 10. So they do $10 tickets. You just got to get in the lottery. And I actually can say I know someone who actually won the lottery. So people do win it because, you know, so many people enter. Mm-hmm. And no one, like all lotteries, very rarely is anyone walk away happy. But it does happen. They do actually give those tickets away.
Interesting.
Good nugget. Let's talk Bengals. So let's go into the free. I'm not sure where to start even because free agency and the draft, as always, are intertwined, but particularly this year. Because free agency is going to come first. And the one thing I think that came away from the combine with all the, you know, 1 a.m. in, you know, prime or breakfast coffees, all the things that happen that are renowned at the combine for. You know, agents scattering everywhere yelling at me about Mack Wilson.
That was the highlight of the week for me.
In the middle, I mean, it was whatever time it was at prime, and this guy was just yelling at me about how Mack Wilson is a guy, and I'm just like, brother, I don't care. I'm just out. Like, don't stop yelling at me about this. Quit doing your job like this.
Not only was that guy trying to tell you that Guys and Dolls was really great, he was trying to tell you why Hamilton wasn't all that.
Yeah, which I'm...
He was running down other linebackers.
And I didn't care about anything that was on Broadway at that point.
Exactly.
And certainly not from somebody who I don't know. Random agent... That is like a combine staple. Random agent at the bar yelling at anyone that sits next to him about his client.
Yeah, I mean, he was like Zach Taylor jumping up on the table for Jim Turner.
Yeah.
Except this is Mack Wilson.
This is Mack Wilson. And no one wanted him to do that. No one asked him to walk into the room and do that. Just drink your gin and tonic, man. All right, sorry. I think the interesting thing is how free agency – I think we can say pretty stoutly the Bengals' focus on free agency – should and will be linebacker. When you look at the names available, when you look at the way the draft sets up, and I couldn't find anybody inside, outside the organization anywhere, and we talked about this in the Todd Grantham situation, that would be willing to tell me that this linebacker room is not a complete train wreck.
It's not salvageable as currently laid out.
Right. You know what it is? I don't know that I even told you this. My car bit the dust on the way out of Indy.
You
called predicted
that.
It. Yeah. I predicted it. I said I don't feel comfortable driving home. My car officially bit the dust. Side of the highway stuff. You know what the Bengals linebacker room is? It's my car. How I'm fielding offers for scrap money.
Yeah, you were just tapping that dash. Look, just saying get me home from Indy.
And it didn't. I tapped it one too many times. It died on the side of the road. Rest in peace, 13 years of the Pontiac Torrent.
That was Marvin in November and December with the linebacker group. Just come on, just get me through here.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I think Nick Vigil is like the catalytic converter. Like you can use that. I mean, you need that. You can sell that. I got you. But like my dead engine is Vontaze Burfict. You know, just totally useless.
It used to work.
Used to work great. Yeah. It got me 166,000 miles.
Right.
At the end, it started kind of chunk a lot. And like
started costing you money a little bit here and there.
Costing me money a little bit. Started making me nervous all the time. Every time you got to deal with it, getting nervous. And then it just dies and leaves you in the middle of the highway. What else was my car here? I had a busted
worn out tires.
I got a busted door. So my door, the actual left side of the door, like the part that connects like right around the window, it's a pretty thick piece actually. Just came off. Just at some point in the last month, just flew off. It's somewhere in Greater Cincinnati. If you see it, say hello to it. That's Jordan Evans. Because like because it was on there solid, and you're like, you know, it, I mean, it looks like a solid piece. It's totally doing its job. There's hope for like this door is in good shape. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, completely unsuspecting, it just flies off my car, and you're just like, man, I used to think I could count on that.
We had a moment in Indy early where I got into your car, and you were driving us, and I could feel kind of like your shame. You're like, real sorry about the door. It kind of smells bad. I'm hoping it'll crank. Yeah. I'll imagine that was like Zach Taylor to Todd Grantham showing him this linebacker. I'm really sorry.
Really sorry about the linebacker room. We're working on that. Trust me, I'm test driving new cars. So if you look at the market, my new Jeep Grand Cherokee, I'm very excited. I bought. Thank you from the Zimmer Sales Group down there in
Kentucky. You.
Shout them out. Yeah, that's like the free agent and the Devons, right?
Yeah.
Devin White and Devin Bush in the draft, and this free agency class is my new Jeep Grand Cherokee that you should desire to go acquire.
Wow, the car analogy works really well too.
What's Malik Jefferson? I don't know. Like Malik Jefferson wasn't even in the car. So he's somehow made it to my new car cuz he's here cuz we don't know anything about him. But he is, but I never used him in the old car. So maybe he's my key ring. He was there. He was present. But he really had no effect. Like, I could have gotten a different key ring.
Right.
But I have him now in the new one, and I'm hoping that it's going to
become useful.
It'll become useful now because I have a new, different set of keys.
Yeah.
I think we knocked them all out. Everything else that died is, you know, those all the guys that aren't going to be back, you know.
Well, the Jeep Grand Cherokee really is the Devin White because you're expecting, you know, 10, 12 solid years out of this thing at a minimum.
Yeah, no doubt.
It comes in.
And it comes highly recommended.
Right.
It's passed all the tests. It's got all the bells and whistles. Fully loaded Devin White. The only question was that I faced as I went to purchase it was, is this out of my range? Should I even get this?
Should I drop down to the Mack Wilson level of SUV?
But now I'm driving a bare, and I'm driving a base model. I don't want to drive a base model.
Well, if I just went through the same process you did. I got a little car for the gas mileage, but is it not just such a better feeling whenever you can just get in your car, you know it's going to crank?
Yeah.
You know that you don't have to apologize to your friends when they get into it.
You know it's going to warm up in more than like 35 minutes,
right.
And your daughter's not going to be losing her mind in the back because you potentially are like giving her frostbite all because your car will not heat in a proper amount of time.
You know that opponents are not going to complete 77% of passes thrown against it.
You just need that. In this day and age, you need it, right? And now, So the interesting thing that happened at the combine, in my opinion, and how this plays into everything, is Devin White and Devin Bush running their ass off, right? So 4.42, 4.43, from the linebacker position. These are numbers of the new age elite linebacker, and the tape backs it up. This isn't straight line speed, no instincts. Devin White, Devin Bush have shown instincts. They've shown the ability to run and cover, and their speed clearly allows them to go sideline to sideline. Most will say Devin Bush is a tick below. Mm-hmm. It's maybe missing the altitude package where they have some special trim on the exterior, you know, and you get some like cool coloring on the inside, and maybe one little safety feature. Outside of that, it's got everything else. You can honestly, when you really look at it, both could work just fine for you, depending on what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. But I think that Roquan Smith really shows how different the linebacker position is physically, mm-hmm. but also with Chicago taking him in the top 10 last year, I think that kind of changes things too for Devin White. I mean, maybe the Bengals could have gotten him at 11, but I feel like now, you know, teams are not going to be afraid to take a guy in the top 10 like that. And I think even higher, somebody like I think you have in the mock draft, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I think it would be very difficult, especially after I dropped in on White's podium interview. It seems like the Bucs are really enamored with him. And
well,
I don't
if they
think
lose Quan Alexander,
right.
it's a boom boom type move for them, yeah. where they can just put him right in there. It's look, I'm curious because there is so much depth. There's interesting dynamic here, and this is as I was really going through. I think the reworked combine look at the draft here. The quarterbacks are going to ascend. They always do. I think there's a chance a third one goes in front of the Bengals. I think Drew Lock has built enough potential where somebody might think he's their Patrick Mahomes. Somebody might think that. And Murray, people are all around are saying he's going one now. I mean, we went from – you know what this reminded me of? It reminded me of the Cam Newton year. And if you remember – when Cam Newton came out of Auburn, there was so much controversy surrounding him. There was so much picking by everyone, and no one really believing that this guy, because he looked different, right?
Mm-hmm.
He just looked and played different. There was no real believing that this guy who looks so different and he's got all this controversy surrounding him would go number one overall. But as the coaching staff started getting a closer look at him, as the scouts really started airing out, as everyone really started looking at it, he went from people projecting him to go 15 to 20, some, you know, in late in the season in January, to a consensus number one and the number one not long after. I think that's what we just saw from Kyler Murray. He looks different. He plays different. People are wondering if how he will fit, and he has all this baseball controversy that was surrounding him, hand size controversy, weight controversy. Well, he comes out at 5'10 and some change in 207, and everyone's saying, yeah, he's going to be the number one. And Arizona, who just tweeted out Josh is our guy.
For now.
For now. That's not a ringing endorsement right. from Steve Keim, by the way, who said that. He's like, yeah, Josh is our quarterback right now.
Yeah.
You just don't want that. You just don't want that disclaimer in there. So Kyler will go probably number one. Haskins will go in front of the Bengals. You have this defensive line depth where there's all these dudes, right? So will teams in the top 10 say, you know what? I can get a guy later because of the defensive line depth. Or will they say, they're just these guys are too good to pass up and they are so much better than the other positions. Got to have it. The defensive line depth, quarterbacks, and then you throw in a guy like DK Metcalf.
Yeah, who's just off the charts.
Who he went from, you know, did he just John Ross this? Go from mid-teens into the top 10 because of a totally freakish combine that's going to enamor a team that badly needs a weapon, who I had with Jacksonville.
Yeah, and the thing with him too, yeah, he did John Ross it with his speed. This guy is 6'5", 240 pounds.
It's crazy.
So he's built for.
What a crazy thing. To run at that size.
Yeah.
What a crazy
with
thing.
With like 2% body fat.
Less than 2%.
That's not healthy.
I enjoyed Joe Thomas being like, how do you do that and live? Like, that's not even
right.
a real thing.
I always try to justify my state of being, and it's like, you know, it's not healthy to be that low with your body fat. You need a little body fat.
Yeah, for the kid, get through these winters.
Yeah.
So does a guy like that, you know, that remind, you know, you go to the John Ross draft, and not to bring this up because it makes me
really got
cry.
A dagger.
No, this is
again.
Not about this is not about that. This is about, you know, nobody knew what those receivers were going to do. Next thing you know, three of them went in the top nine.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Davis went 5, Mike Williams went 7, and John Ross went 9. And people were like, wow, people, playmakers that have elite traits. And, you know, when you look at what DK Metcalf could be, or really, you know, anybody that has these freaky comments, Devin White kind of falls in that. people will draft way higher than you think they will, or they'll trade up or whatever. And some of these teams might be willing even to trade back. And they're probably, you know, were they trading up for Devin White? I don't know. But anyway, so you get into the idea of Devin White falling to 11 is just a harder thing to sell right now. It may happen because quarterbacks and defensive line, like we just said, you sprinkle a couple of crazy picks in there.
You get a run going.
Even Jacobs from Alabama, the running back, maybe somebody decides to take a flyer on him. I mean, you do that, and then Devin White is sitting there at 11, and you sprint to the podium at 4-4-2 like he does. If he's not there, it opens up an interesting can of worms.
Well, like a month ago, when you go through all these, there's too many mocks. That's why I waited so patiently for yours, Paul.
Thank you.
I just put names in my head. I was like, maybe Devin White could be there at 11. There's no way Jonah Williams will be there at 11.
He could be there at 11.
No, a month ago I was saying this.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Jonah Williams is a top five pick.
Now he's T-Rex.
Now, though, yeah. Well, but he's coming down. Devin White's going up. And I'm thinking, okay, Mac Wilson, the Mac Wilson type, the kid from Michigan.
Don't feed that beast.
I know.
Devin Bush had just as good a combine almost as Devin White.
But I feel like the Bengals at 11, they're not. They don't have a high enough pick to get Devin White anymore. And that's too high to be reaching on those other two. So I feel like you've correctly identified in your mock that tackle's where they'll go. And that makes sense, too, because the free agency pool at tackle is not nearly as strong or diverse,
no.
I believe, as linebacker.
No, I don't see them bringing in a tackle. I don't. You know what I think they're going to do?
They're going to keep a tackle.
They're going to keep a tackle, and I don't even want to say his name because I don't want to piss people off. I'm just telling you what I think is going to happen. I think if you're reading between the lines of what Jim Turner was saying and some of the other stuff you hear, I hate to say this sentence because it's not. This is not like how my analysis is, okay? This is not me looking at the tape and being like, here's what I think. This is what I think the Bengals think. I think they think Bobby Hart played pretty well, all things considered. And I think they would have no problem with him being a backup swing tackle for them. And I actually don't have a huge problem with him being a backup, but don't sell me Bobby Hart starting at right tackle again. But they could re-sign Bobby Hart and put themselves in a position that if they don't get the first-round tackle, or maybe if they get a second-rounder, he sits behind Bobby Hart or has to beat him out or something like that. I don't like any of that, but I'm just saying I feel like there is a peculiar momentum around Bobby Hart in that building. I don't understand it, but I think there's interest in finding him and his value and whatever. Sorry. It's just exhausting.
Wow.
It's exhausting because I know what this does. It just sets off. And I don't want to do it. I don't want to be the one to tell you this stuff. I don't want to be that guy.
That started off like Paul McCartney and ended like John Lennon. Like,
whatever.
So happy. And then so sad.
Oh, it's so sad. I don't think tackle. So, to me, if you don't have Devin White, if I'm evaluating this, and you're now looking at Devin Bush and this collection of tackles in there, Cody Ford, Jawan Taylor, Jonah Williams, there's a set of the Andre Dillard from Washington State. There's four guys that really most people would project to go somewhere in the top 20, 15. Pick your pony, who fits you, and then throw Devin Bush in there. To me, that's your bucket. To me, that's your bucket that it hits you too nice, right?
Yeah.
Your giant positions of need. Like, it's 1-2, and then there's no 3-4 or 5. It's everything else is kind of down because those are so far above position of need for this team right now. And then you have these guys that are going to fit that spot at 11. So in my opinion, unlike last year where it didn't fit them at 12 and they moved back in order to try to double dip, I don't see that this year because if you move back, maybe if you move back a few spots and try to add a mid-rounder, add a 3 by moving back to 16 or something because you think Devin Bush and Cody Ford, one of those two will be there.
Or Jawan Taylor.
or Jawan Taylor or whatever. If you think that, well, one of those should
and I
be
think
there.
That's a likely scenario.
Then if you view it that way and you're willing to take that risk and add another mid round, cool. Otherwise, take your guy at 11 because it does fit you nice. You can get you'll get the best of the lot in your mind. Again, all this comes back to, like every team, what is your pony? Do you have a 1A grade on Jawan Taylor, or do you have a 1B, or do you have 1Cs? Do you have all those guys as 1Cs? And you're like, well, we don't value them at that level. Well, that will determine. But in my opinion, I think the tackle outweighs taking maybe will be a little bit of a reach on Devin Bush. But who knows? I mean, after that combine, he may go up into the top 10. Who the hell knows? The way people get enamored over that stuff.
Right. Yeah, I would come away with the feeling, and we still got a long way to go, but I would have a little bit of a John Ross feeling if they took Bush at 11.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a feeling you want.
It's not. Now, I'm not trying to knock him. It's just that I like him at 22. Mm-hmm. I don't like him at 11.
Yeah.
So just take the tackle.
So or move back.
Or move back.
Or move back a few and try to add some mid-rounders that you can hit on. Because, look, let's be honest about something. We can talk a lot of trash about the Bengals and their first-round picks in recent years.
Yes.
There have been some big old busts in there that have really hurt them. And we'll see what happens with John Ross. And we know what happened with Cedric Abuehi. You know, we can get into that. They have done really well in the mid-rounds. They have shown an ability to thrive in rounds 2, 3, and 4 in recent years and even further back, really going all the way back to your Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap draft. Honestly, their best picks have come in these mid-rounds. Their best players, outside of the no-brainer of A.J. Green, haven't necessarily come from the first round.
Why do you think they've been able to hit on evaluations that deep in the draft as opposed to, you know, in that top 10 range?
It's a good question because, in my opinion, I think that they really have they've done a good job of recognizing exactly what they want. And the things that they want often are things that other teams don't desire. And they also do a really good job of understanding where everyone's value is. They take a lot of pride in they pick a guy, and the guy they thought they would pick next comes off the board next because they have a real feel for how the league is going to draft this. Rarely do they see – they talk about this all the time. They say, rarely do they see someone go way later than they had them drafted. Somebody's just sitting there and doesn't make any sense. So they clearly had a off evaluation. You have a good feel for that. And then thirdly on that, quantity. They have run up the comp pick system and all of that stuff. They've had more draft selections than anybody in football because they value those, because they know when you get late in the draft, it's quantity. Because if 12% are going to hit, you just need more. It's the guy that hits on every girl on the bar rather than just spends all his time talking to the one. You know that theory, Fletch.
I'm more of a persistence guy.
You're a persistence guy. So you just keep trying to trade up. You just keep trying to trade up. Yeah, I mean, I think that has worked out for them. And I've talked about that often. And when you look at their drafts, the second guy has so often – they'll draft two at the same position really and near each other. It seems like often the second guy ends up better than the first guy. You know, Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu, although both ended up very good. Marvin Jones was the fifth-round pick. Mo Sanu was the 3. Marvin Jones ended up better. You saw for a while Brandon Thompson was certainly better than Devin Still. They drafted them basically back-to-back. You know, you look at Carl Lawson was after Jordan Willis. You look at – I mean, this has happened repeatedly because of their quantity that they are able to hit in those mid-rounds as well. So I think that, to me, that's part of it. So I wouldn't have a problem. Now, a lot of people will talk about them wanting to move up. Go get Devin White, right? For the same reason that I just talked about, you know, they don't have a whole lot of capital. They got a bunch of 6-rounders, and that ain't going to move you up into the top 10.
I think the path is laid out pretty well. You rejoice if Devin falls to you. And then you just take the tackle if not.
Yeah, because there's nothing wrong with – because here's the thing. All those names I mentioned, Cody Ford, Juwan Taylor, Devin White, Devin Bush, Jonah Williams, Andre Dillard, starting day one, significant upgrades. Significant upgrades at your biggest positions of need. You are a way better team today and a chance to be 10-year guys.
Yep.
All of them. So if you want to move back and whatever, fine. But moving up and giving up the chance of having another guy in the back end, I wouldn't do because of the collection that would be there for you. I wouldn't do that. But my opinion doesn't matter. We know that. We pretty much know they won't do that. They have no history of doing that. None. Certainly in the first round. They've moved up in back rounds, and that's fine. But in the first round, up into the top 10, not something anybody at PBS has ever been fond of doing, and I don't think Zach Taylor is going to show up on day one of his draft and that be what happens. There's one other interesting thing that I want to bring up in here, and I didn't want to write it because, honestly, I don't have this from anybody. But I think if I assess the situation correctly, I think there could be an interesting thing to talk about here, and that's Drew Lock. So you look at what could happen with him and a team needing to take a chance on him in the teens, which we've seen with Deshaun Watson, which we've seen with Patrick Mahomes, which we have seen with... You have to go all the way back. I guess Ben Roethlisberger was a low teen guy. I mean, you can go through this. And now, but if everyone wants the net, they're Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes. And we're talking about 2 years in Andy Dalton's contract and what are they going to do after that. And they're looking into it. I would not be surprised at some point they have to have that conversation, right?
The Bengals?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
if they like, do we like this guy? Do we think he could be a great quarterback in the future? Do we think in 2020 or 2021 that he could be our quarterback?
Yeah, see, I think Drew Lock actually becomes the guy who the Bengals might trade. A team might move up into that 11 pick to take, and the Bengals move back. But I don't see him being their guy. But sure, have the conversation.
People were calling to come up and take Pat Mahomes. They took John Ross, and how do they feel about that? You don't think there's regret in that building? Sure there is. There's regret in 31 other buildings. anybody that picked in the top 10 that year. So I find that interesting. And again, we just laid out how this fits them, their biggest needs on the team in other spots. So the idea of taking Drew Lock is now leaving yourself open.
I think the team to watch is Denver. I think they could be in the Drew Lock market, but they also talked to Devin White.
They just added Flacco.
I know, but
Flacco's sort of like a dead weight guy as well. Yeah,
but Denver's talked to linebackers, so they're sort of in the same.
Vic Fangio trying to replicate Roquan Smith with Devin White.
Right.
So if Devin White's falling and Bengals fans are getting excited,
they're going to hit him at 10.
Know that Denver is a big old obstacle in front of them.
So I think that Denver has a lot of sway in what maybe happens with Cincinnati. I could see them. You have DeAndre Baker, a guy from Georgia, going to them there. So they obviously have a lot of needs all over the board.
Yeah, they definitely have corner needs. And with Vic, I think you just assume when they add a defensive coach, they're going to pick a defensive guy. In the first round. But they have needs. They definitely have cornerback needs too to fill. You're right. Denver is interesting there.
I don't know about Drew Lock. Now I have seen some mocks, and we know you got to take all these with a grain of salt. You know, Daniel Jones being a guy from Duke that might be around in the second round.
Yeah, maybe it's a second round. But I see. To me though, this is why I'm even talking about this, because again, I don't have this. There's nobody in the building telling me we like Drew Lock. I'm just assessing. We know their situation, and the Andy Dalton situation is fascinating. When you look, he would be the one to fit that mold of finding your Patrick Mahomes, finding your, and that's not a. It, the future is not a second or third round guy. You at some point need to take, you got to take your shot.
You got to make a major investment.
It's my little Hamilton reference tying it all back together. I'm not going to miss my shot. You know? Hamilton lovers are like enthralled with this. This is their day. Guys and dolls lovers have already hung up. Sorry, guys and dolls. But so think about that, though. I mean, so I'm not interested in Daniel Jones. I'm not interested in raw prospect in the third round. Like, those dudes, the chances of that guy being Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott, who, by the way, Dallas is probably going to move on from after the rookie deal's up, in my opinion, is so slim. You've got to take your shot. You've got to own your shot. And if you think that Drew Lock could be that dude, or hell, maybe Ish goes crazy and Dwayne Haskins free falls. Right? We've seen this happen to quarterbacks before. I doubt it. I'm not saying this is going to happen. But we've seen this. We see this happen with quarterbacks all the time. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you know, we see this happen all the time. If Dwayne Haskins takes a free fall, are you going to take your shot? Are you going to own your shot? You know, I don't want second or third round shot. I want you to take your shot whenever you feel you have it on your Patrick Mahomes, who is worthy of being selected at that point, and figure it out. Now, that's this year, that's next year, whatever. That's what it is. Which takes us into what's going to be a question, but I'll go ahead. We'll just go ahead and do this. Question from when I put the APB out for questions on Twitter yesterday. I got like the same one 30 times. So obviously we need to talk about it. Are the Bengals going to trade for Josh Rosen? Now, I will, because the that's out there now is the Cardinals are going to draft Kyler Murray. And Josh Rosen will be traded. What's his value? And it was suggested, I believe, by Peter King, that his value would probably only be like a third-round pick.
Ooh, just a quarter on the dollar.
So for all of those screaming for the Bengals to do that, I want you to think about that statement for a second. Potentially, let's say you do the deal for a third-round pick. That means the entire league thinks a guy who was
number 10 overall pick.
10 overall last year in a quarterback after one season of seeing what he had to offer in Arizona is not worth anything but a third round pick. What does that tell you about what he is as a quarterback? If the entire league would value him that way, while you're asking, we want that guy. Do you want that guy? I saw Arizona have the most wretched offense in the history of the NFL last year. It was some of the numbers I couldn't help it, because I think I accidentally fell into their page at one point where I was looking for some wretched Bengals defensive numbers, and I came across some wretched Arizona offensive numbers. Totally legendary stuff of how bad they were and how bad Josh Rosen was. Now, Steve Wilks got fired. Perhaps he was set up to not succeed, and they could be finding value in a guy. Or at least if you're only giving up a third, you can be seeing if the quarterback guru land of the Bengals can help fix him. But it was not good what was happening in Arizona last year.
I think Bruce Arians retiring and then showing up in Tampa Bay a year later, it's kind of that's the evidence you need to know that that whole situation out there was not ideal. Mm-hmm. So to make some excuses or explanations for Josh Rosen, having a coach that was on his way to get fired and a team that bad. I mean, the team was terrible.
Yeah.
It's hard to it's hard to make an evaluation of a first-year quarterback in that kind of situation. But
yeah,
you're talking about giving up like a Malik Jefferson for Josh Rosen.
Or a Sam Hubbard.
Depending on how you hit your eval.
I mean, that's just it. When people say, all you're doing is giving up Malik Jefferson, I'm like, yeah, but you love Sam Hubbard.
That's right. And that goes back to your probabilities.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, and that's fine because the quarterback position is more important. And I don't honestly, I don't have a problem with if you really do get a third round, give a third rounder, and you could bring Josh Rosen in to be a backup and see what he looks like in a year after Brian Callahan and Zach Taylor and Alex Van Pelt get their hands on him and see. If you're only, if you really are only giving up a third round pick, I don't have a problem. I'd say call it what it is. He's our backup quarterback. We're gonna see if we can't develop him. But we, you know, we don't. Andy Dalton is our guy. You could, I mean, no, I'd say no matter what you do, you know, if you're if it's a rookie or Josh Rosen, Andy Dalton is better than Andy Dalton will be better than anybody you than Drew Lock for winning today. And this team needs to win immediately under Zach Taylor and get everybody on board. And they need to see what 1 year what this 1 year of Andy Dalton looks like. I think under Zach Taylor, we've gone into this in the past. I don't have a problem with you being like, all right, we'll take a.
I'm out.
You're out. I'm not saying I would do it. I'm saying I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, it's like Shark Tank. And I'm not even going to list my reasons. I'm out.
I'm making a deal, but I'm getting, you know, I'm coming up with a royalty package. I'm like Mr. Wonderful in this one. I got all kinds of butts and I really need to get a payoff on the back end and
it will excuse me for maybe being stereotypical or whatever, but I just don't think Josh Rosen's a Cincinnati guy. You know, like Zach Taylor, he's like I'm a Midwestern Cincinnati dude. That's part of why I'm coming over here. Josh Rosen, I don't get that vibe from him. I think he's a left coast guy.
Yeah, fair. I could see that. But if you can play quarter, I mean, he also. Do you really think that would hinder him from playing good quarterback here?
I think there's a lot of things on the peripheral with this guy, Chosen Rosen. You know, there was a lot of question marks about his love of football and his commitment to being excellent. And I think he needs to be in a place and in circumstances that he's really interested in. And I don't know him. First of all, getting traded to begin with would be difficult. And then showing up and having to be told you're the backup to Andy Dalton, I think that'd be enough to maybe break his.
He needs to come to terms with the fact that he's going to get traded somewhere where he's probably going to be the backup.
That's true.
I mean, there's a few places where he might be able to battle. I mean, I'm sure the Patriots will trade a third rounder to go have him back up Tom Brady and see if they can figure it out.
Oh, if he goes to the Patriots, then he'll win a Super Bowl in 5 years.
No, he won Super Bowl probably next year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he'll lead them to the Super Bowl. Yeah. He'll become something somehow.
Maybe. I don't know. Josh McDaniels will be his head coach. That'll be a train wreck. They're going to fall apart once Belichick leaves and Brady leaves. Anyway.
Well, Belichick is never.
But the thing is, so everyone praises that, right? Yeah. Like, oh, the Patriots, that would be so. Of course the Patriots will do it.
They'll resurrect him.
They'll teach him. Why couldn't the Bengals try the same concept here? 1 year, what you do is, how would they be any different? They need a backup quarterback anyway. 1 year, Dalton's the guy. Alex Smith year in Kansas City, right? With Mahomes behind him. Everybody knows it. And the collection of Taylor and Callahan and company work with him for a year. At the end of the year, you figure out what you got. And you either go forward with Dalton because he plays great. You go forward with Rosen because you're developing him, or they both stink and you're drafting a quarterback. And if they both stink, you're probably in the position to draft one of the quarterbacks next year, which it looks like it's going to be a decent quarterback draft. Are you feeling anything I'm saying now, or are you still out?
I'm out on Rosen.
No, I'm not necessarily. I'm talking myself into it.
You're just laying the
options. I like the concept. I don't mind the concept of it at the right price. My thing is I don't think that will be the price.
I'm out on Drew Lock. I'm out on Rosen.
Okay.
I'm out. I'm team. Probably wait till next year.
It might be too late. At some point, you got to deal with this elephant in the room. And maybe dealing with that is a big old extension for Andy Dalton.
I can see
it
that.
Might be. No, I can absolutely. Of course, if he plays this year, even like he played last year. When he was healthy and before everybody got hurt, if they stay relatively healthy and he plays for the entire season like he played during 4-1 or 4-2 or even 5-3, where they were 5-3 with the NFL's worst defense ever, They were 5-3. They should have been 6. They should have been 6-2, 7-1, right? So if he plays like that over the course of a season, you don't think that they wouldn't want to sign up for 5 to 10 more years of that when the prime of a quarterback, he's not even in it yet. Prime of a quarterback's 35 now, 34.
And I think it's going to be a long off season, so we're not going to delve into this. But A.J. Green's contract's coming up.
Sure.
Andy Dalton's situation's coming up. John Ross has got to figure things out. So
Boyd.
Well, I mean, Tyler Boyd and Joe Mixon, I believe, we feel really good about their situations moving forward. But there's a lot of question marks that it's going to be – I'm going to enjoy watching how Zach Taylor and Brian Callahan figure this offense out and then how they position themselves for the future after this season.
Yeah. I think the A.J. Green negotiation will be the most interesting aspect of this entire – they want to pay A.J. Green. I can tell you that. They want to.
And AJ wants to
stay. They love the idea of him staying through another contract and playing to 35 and retiring the Bengal and going to the Hall of Fame.
And we believe, just knowing AJ, that would be something that he desperately wants to do too.
Yes. However, I would just say I would caution both sides.
Well, similar to the Whitworth thing, which we're going to get into.
Yeah, I would caution both sides. I would caution AJ Green to sign up, but we don't know what Zach Taylor is going to be. And I would caution the Bengals to see a full healthy season and figure out what's going on and why we have multiple injuries and this toe thing creeps up again as he gets into his 30s. I would caution both sides to see how this plays out and maybe just play this deal out. That's what makes everyone uncomfortable. It feels like what's best for both parties if both parties really know their long-term interests. I think if you put a gun to my head today, I'd say they get a deal done. But I think both should be rethinking it. All right, let's dive into some other questions since we have really gone off on this whole tangent here. I'm going to try to run through some real quick. Thanks to everybody that sent them to us. I always appreciate that. Okay, we have got, should it be asked if Jim, this is from my man Scott Reniker, at Reniker S. Should it be asked should it be asked of Jim Turner why didn't Sed perform in the NFL from college if Sed had the body type he portrayed? Sed didn't really have the body type that Jim Turner says that he likes. We did ask him about Sed.
Yeah, interesting that Jim Turner made it pretty clear that he didn't have any interest. I mean, you could at least entertain. It was like,
we wish him the best, I believe.
Right. Well, you could at least entertain, like, oh, you know, Sed and Turner getting it back together. Maybe that's the guy. Because, you know, every coach or every guy maybe has a coach out there that goes, I can get the most out of this guy. I can figure this guy out. And that's what Sed needs if he wants to continue getting paid to play football. But Jim Turner made it very clear that he had no cares about that storyline, while also using the word phenomenal in relation to Bobby Hart. Yes. So I thought that was pretty telling.
Really telling. This is kind of funny. I just referenced Mr. Wonderful earlier. This guy renamed himself Mr. Wonderful, but he is at FRR Ankus. F. Frankus?
I just want to get a montage of you reading Twitter handles.
I know. I'm so terrible at this. But you know why we love him? Because he opens with the hashtag Find Paul's Phone.
He's a real one.
So he's real. So we got to go to him. We heard a lot of coach speak from Taylor. Anything of interest that you can share with us after the mic was shut off or other observations about the new coaching staff from rubbing elbows over the weekend?
Zach Taylor is just a nice slice of white bread. It's just, there is not a lot of spices going on there.
No,
when he's
very, what you see is what you get. I think he's been, you know, we don't have a ton of time. I think as he's around, we'll have more opportunities to really find out how he relaxes and get into that world with him. But right now, I don't think his family has seen how he relaxes since he took this job. He's been so busy trying to do all this stuff. He hasn't really had, there's not really that time necessarily to divulge that type of stuff from Zach, at least.
Well, I think that he was born to rule a press conference.
Yes.
You know, his dad was a high level player, but for Zach, he's been a quarterback. He was a quarterback at Nebraska, where if you said anything wrong or did anything wrong, you know, there would be a major implications for him. And mm-hmm. on being a quarterback to begin with, he's obviously going to be well-spoken and going to really think out what his words mean and yeah. how they could be interpreted. So he has hit the ground running in terms of coach speak. I'm really yeah. impressed. He's a veteran in terms of not divulging or giving away a viral headline that could come out of a presser.
Lord knows we've tried.
Poke around that bear as much as you want. He's not going to dance
no,
for you.
No, he's very good. He's very good at not saying anything. As far as other observations, you know, I've been saying this. I have come away really impressed with Brian Callahan at every turn. And this guy has – now, we haven't seen him coach a lick. I like his background. I know he's young at 34. And I'm not saying I haven't been impressed with Taylor, but you're asking me about other coaches here. I feel like he has a really strong feeling about – I think he has future head coach written all over him too. And I think that mesh with Zach could be really, really good potentially. You know, some of the other coaches – you know, the running backs coach likes horses. Jamal Singleton. Mick Vigil likes horses.
That's why Devin White, they got to get Devin White.
Devin White likes horses. I feel like this is the selling point.
Yeah.
You put Nick Vigil. So Nick Vigil, Devin White, and Jamal Singleton walk into a horse farm, right? You with me? That's where – this is the future of the Bengals. This is going to be where – when the book is written about the, 2020 Super Bowl champion Bengals, that's the first line. You like that? You like that?
I like that.
The first chapter is just setting – is just in a Kentucky horse park.
No, Ed Oliver discussed at the combine how he rides horses, and then he talked about how he had gotten thrown off his horse. So they asked Devin White about that. Have you ever been thrown off your horse, and would that be a concern for NFL teams that maybe you could get injured with your horse riding? And Devin very, very seriously said, "I ride the horse. The horse does not ride me.
Wow.
So I don't get thrown."
Dude, alpha.
That's the middle linebacker of the future.
That's the bells and whistles on the car right there. That's the safety spot, the safety spot on the mirror. Where? Blind side protector?
That's right.
That's what that
Doo-doo-doo.
Is. Yep. That's what that comment was.
Yeah. Hey, on your Brian Callahan point, though,
yeah.
I think at the Senior Bowl, John Gruden talked about his dad. John Gruden's dad was around for some of the practices, and John Gruden alluded to the fact that he was like, I was born to do this. My brother's in the game. I'm in the game. This is how I grew up. And Brian's the same way, you know, with his dad. And it's not crazy to think that he'll be leading an NFL team.
I will say this, outside of the Jim Turner controversy, and he's very, you know, we talked about him a lot last week in his personality.
And I think we understand that a lot
more. Cut that out real quick while I say this statement. I think this is a very want-to-do-well, energetic, eager group of young bucks. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it really is. It's the total opposite. I did the math last week. So last year's coaching staff, the average age was 45 and some change. This year's coaching staff, the average age is 37 and some change. A full 8-year difference per person.
Yeah,
on this staff, and with the most obvious being going from 60 to 35 with Marvin Lewis and Zach Taylor, but that's all over the place. And there's this eagerness, and there is very much a new. I tell you this, in every conversation I've had, these coaches, they think like we have talked on the BBP, and like I hear fans talk. So I really do feel like a frustration vented in previous years about the way that Marvin would do things. I really feel like that this is really a way that the way that they will operate will connect much more with fans and leave them scratching their head less often. Now, will inexperience bite them in the butt early? Obviously.
Almost assuredly.
Yeah, almost assuredly. But I'm telling you, I think there will be more of an understanding of what is going on than there was in the past. Mostly because of, what's that magic word?
Communication.
Communication. But I mean, really, though. I mean, it really, the message will come across clearer, and I think the thoughts will be clearer. That more connect with the modern, current NFL that most fans, I think, live in and feel like they want their team to live in. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. That answer was better than I thought it was going to be. I really thought I was going to really
– place, but
I really thought I was going to kind of stinker it up on that question. We figured it out. Oh, I like this one. From my man Michael McGowan. At Med Writer Mike. I assume he's a medical writer. What? It could be McGowan. Mick Gorin. He's the head of copy for a healthcare ad agency, all right?
Aaron.
Well, he asked if Jake Fisher is returning as a tight end and the Bengals need tight end help. Any chance we keep him, but as a tight end and not a tackle? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think they have any interest in a 280-pound, even if he got down to 280-275, tight end.
It's just I'm not knocking Jake Fisher here, but it's disrespectful to tight ends where it's like, yeah, Cam Newton, make him a tight end.
Yeah.
Or Jason Witten, coming back to play tight end,
yeah,
out of the booth. Move this tackle over to tight end. I'm like, no, I think I'll draft a good tight end.
You remember when you don't remember this, but this is a great, this is like an all-time favorite story to tell. And that is, and I've probably even told it to you at some point. When Jake Fisher was a rookie, they were playing him all over the place, and Hugh Jackson was the offensive coordinator. They put him at fullback. They kept throwing it to him, like, all the time. They threw it to him, like, six times, and I don't think he caught one. He did catch one. It was his one career reception, and he got all excited. It was great.
I'm sure that made for some Sam Hubbard-like moments for you guys.
Yes, they kept throwing it to him was the point. So I, at one point, had to look up most targets for an offensive lineman in a single season. I was like, this has got it. We're reapproaching record. It's like six targets for an offensive lineman a season. And in the Pro Football Reference search, there was a glitch on one name, and it claimed that some offensive tackle from like in the 90s got 23 targets in one season without a single catch. And all I could think of was the fans, the poor fans of that team, being like, Daniels again! No! This never works! We have tried this 16 times, and the 17th, they're still going back to it. It was my favorite glitch I've ever seen in a computer anywhere. Anyway, so I always think of that story when I think of people talking about Jake Fisher, the tight end. Good luck to Jake. I hope it works out. I don't see this team wanting a 280-pound tight end, and I don't think I see Jake Fisher being in their plans personally. But you never know when someone does something drastic like this. I mean, there's always a chance that it perks someone's interest on a flyer, but I don't think it'll be the Bengals.
I agree.
Daniels again.
Although after that room had so many question marks and weird sort of, you know, parenthetical notations on each guy coming through there, you know, like by the end of last season, I guess he would have fit right in the room.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. I've got a couple more and then we'll get out of here. Favorite pizza topping? Shout out to Lonnie Weishard Jr. at STL Kiss.
I like
the He's older, a marathon runner.
The older I get, I'm really getting into banana peppers on pizza, jalapeno peppers. I'm spicing it up these days. But I like keeping it pretty simple.
I like a sausage onion combo.
I like sausage onion green pepper, something like that.
Get your green peppers off my okay. Scott Ford at the _ Scott Ford. Is a restructuring of Kirkpatrick's contract in the future? An interesting question because I don't think that was – his contract's interesting. And, you know, the Bengals structure so many of these deals, almost all of them, where they front load the money in exchange for structure on the back end. Well, they're coming up on that advantage now. Not really – this year it doesn't really make as much sense, but next year – I don't know what they would restructure it to. They basically have very little dead money and be able to save a lot against the cap if they were to let him go, or they could keep him. I don't think it would be a restructure. I think they just let him go.
Yeah.
You know, depending on the situation. So I would say that I don't see restructure. They don't really restructure contracts. They don't like to do that. And after this year, it's not something that they would really need to restructure. So that's kind of my Kirkpatrick thing. All right, we'll wrap it up with this because everyone knows the answer. From David. I should have, like, tried to mispronounce it. David. From David at Buddhist David. I enjoy anybody that has The Simpsons featured on their avatar. Any news on what's happening with Perfect? Is he going to be a Bengal next season? He is not. He will be gone. Mark it down. End of story. It's I've over. Told you. Everyone's told you. I'm not ranting on it again. It's over. All right. Speaking of it's over.
Yeah.
It is time again for Today in Kanye. So we can figure out what is our top headlines in the world of Kanye.
Well, I feel like there's a storm brewing. Like, we've had a calm in the headlines the past few weeks with Kanye. It's not made for entertaining podcast material, but this headline alludes to the fact that we can continue this feature for many years to come. Kanye West isn't allowed to retire thanks to new publishing contract. So thanks to that contract, we'll have many Kanye hijinks for a long time to come, and we can report all the headlines to you.
That was weak.
It's been weak for like two or three weeks now, so I think the new album might be approaching. Kanye's sort of bunkering down and figuring out his new strategies for staying at the top of your Google headlines.
Okay. All right. So I want to let everybody know about something that's going on at 50 West. And it's my favorite thing that they do. They do these brewer's brunches where it's basically a three-course brunch with beer pairings on every one. And, I mean, these things are unbelievable. It's like the best value ever, seriously. This is actually how I met Bobby originally, was going to these because I got addicted to them and I started meeting him at them and we struck up a friendship. It's $40 a person, and this one is with featuring Branch and Bone. They are an independent brewery from Dayton. They have artisan ales. They have a passion for beer, so what they do is they mix their beers, a 50 West beer, and a spectacular brunch put together by the 50 West folks, and they course it out and connect it all, and you get essentially two small beers, so that's six small beers, plus you will be full eating all this food. It's over the course of 2 hours. Especially they come and talk to you about the food and the drinks. I'm a big, like, foodie Food Network guy. My dream is to go and to, like, the wine and food festival with Food Network and, like, be able to judge the contestants and, like, have, like, a dial of doom, you know what I'm saying, where you can decide, oh, this food was good or bad and decide someone's fate in a show or something.
Dial of doom.
Do you know the dial of doom?
I don't.
Oh, it's a thing. Talk to people who watch Food Network. It's a thing. Anyway, so I, like, if you're in that world at all, I highly recommend it. So you get a three-course brunch, a 12-ounce reception beer. So you just get a beer just for showing up. Six 5-ounce beer pairings from 50 West and Branch and Bone. And then you also get a 50 West Chasing Sunsets Peach Ale can, which is their new can that they have. First course served at 11:30. Again, it's $40. Just go to 50westbrew.com, and there's a sticker right at the top. You can click on it and go get tickets. I highly recommend. It's March 10th, so coming up. Highly recommend this if you get a chance. The Spring Brewers Brunch over at 50 West. I cannot recommend enough. There's a good chance this guy's going to be there.
If my schedule allows, I will be there as well.
I'm telling you, you can't beat it. It's the best thing they do over there, outside of just, you know, making good beer and good times every day.
That's right.
And serving up optimism by the glass. You like that?
You've pivoted to good feelings in early March.
All right, so next week will be big. Next week, we will be on the verge of the new league year. It will be free agency time officially. So we will kind of have your – we didn't really get into free agency as much as we wanted to on this. We were very draft heavy, so which leaves us perfectly to title next week's podcast, Free Agency Primer, as we'll kind of go fully into what to expect over the course of next week with – free agency. If you haven't seen Mock Draft 1.0, Cincinnati.com, Bengals app, it is up now. You can go check it out. We have a series on linebackers coming out this week, so you can get a lot more into a lot of the linebacker talk that we just had. We'll be talking a little bit about that. So, anyway, thanks to everybody for listening to this week's BBP. We will talk to you next week. Have a good one.